Hey, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Features Interview. Today we have Chris Levine, the actor, writer, producer of Anabolic Life. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So how have you been? Everything going good with your film? It's progressing? It's done the film festival circuit? It's hanging out on Amazon Prime, I presume?
Yeah, exactly. We did a few small film festivals, one in L.A., one in Orlando, where I won Best Actor there. And then we got picked up by Gravitas Ventures, and they distributed the film, and it's all over North America, and we're working on international release now, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So let's start the film off. You're naked in a shower. Boom, bam, here you are. Look at me.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to make sure you saw as much as my ass as possible in this movie.
Yeah, actually, I've got an 8x10 sitting right beside me just because it just spurs me on to look better.
Exactly, yeah. No, we really wanted to show the sadness and of the character at the beginning of the film to start things off, of this kind of just dark, horrible shower and this skinny guy and this, you know, looking cold and fragile.
Now, I understand it's a film, we got to start from somewhere. Like, have you ever felt that way in your life? Or just like, okay, I'm just going to try this out when I started writing the film, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
No, yeah, this is you know, loosely based off of true events. When I was in college, so I don't know, about 10 years ago, I was a bodybuilder and started heavily abusing steroids to compete. And that led to major body issues because when you get off of them, mentally you're not the same. And so as you lose weight from getting off the steroids, that kind of created this setup for the movie.
Okay, so this is like autobiographical then, kind of?
Okay. There's obviously movie stuff for the movie, right?
Of course.
But the baseline of it is, yeah, you know, I took steroids in real life. I suffered from body dysmorphia and dealt with some consequences of it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
You aren't ready for
it. So there's some of the – I guess let's get – I just want to discuss the beginning of the film so people can set and understand. So when you're saying I'm not happy with myself and then from that sounds very truthful then, because it did feel real to me coming from you.
Yeah, it really was. Never mind that part of the movie. I had already lost 30 pounds to open that film up. So I had already been, you know, only 500 calories a day, and kind of when you eat so little, you just become this kind of terrible person anyways. You have no energy, you're cold, and that kind of brought the realism to that scene too.
Does it make you angry, like hungry, you know what I mean? Or just want to eat something?
Oh, yeah, but you get to a point when you starve your body that badly, you get to a point where you don't even have the energy to be angry.
Oh, okay.
You just kind of walk around zombified, to be honest with you.
So how did that help with the writing process? Like, I mean, you have to make yourself skinny, I guess, while you're writing the script.
Well, the script had already been written.
Okay.
And then the other two producers on it and I kind of cleaned it up a little bit. And then while they were busy casting and this and that, I was busy getting into the role and losing the weight.
And you brought some heavy hitters on board. You brought Daniel Baldwin with you. You brought Sharon Lawrence with you.
Yeah, it was exciting.
Was that just to pump the film up with some names?
Yeah, really it was. For me, when we shot it a couple years ago, I had a lot of older producers that had been in the game for a while telling me, oh, you need to, you know, pick names and put them in there to help with distribution. But right now, at this point, it doesn't really matter as much as it did a couple years ago, I think. But yeah, you know, Daniel Baldwin was one of the casting director's first choices for The Boss, and we were looking for someone for my mother, and we ran through like Dee Wallace and those kind of actresses for the mother, and Sharon just like, you know, she's brilliant, so it was a pretty easy choice.
So you walk on set and you see Daniel Baldwin, you're like, sweet.
Yeah, so I was a little intimidated by Daniel. He's you know, he's been doing this a long time. He's very confident. He doesn't always listen to the script. He kind of, like, in the movie, all these stories he says, it's all improv. We didn't write any of that. So every time he says something to me, other than a direct thing, any kind of tangent he goes on, it's 100% improv.
I think he has my favorite line I wrote down. It's a phone job, not a fun job.
Not a fun job. And you know what's funny is that our sound mixer on set came up with that line and we ended up using it.
It's a great line.
Yeah.
It really made me laugh for those bad jobs you had years ago. You're like, this makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So I also want to discuss your final body change as you take drugs and become bigger.
Yeah.
I mean, it says, I did some research. It says you gained 65 pounds and you look great, by the way, which is fabulous. But how often are you working out? Daily? Every 2 days?
Yeah, that was every day for 3 months. That was 5,000 clean calories a day, pretty much chicken and rice. And, you know, we were a little, at first we were a little confused on what we wanted the character to end up looking like at the end. Do we want him to look like this shredded bodybuilder, like how I used to look when I competed? Or do we want this kind of like, he just wants to just get as big as possible. He doesn't have to have the best abs. And I think we found like a middle ground there. I didn't just get bloated and fat, but I wasn't shredded like a bodybuilder. You know, it was kind of like that.
I would say you look pretty shredded.
Yeah, huh?
I will give you full credit. I mean, I do work out. I don't probably eat as nice clean as I should because I just don't really care.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, I think you look good. I mean, I've definitely like things. So I was wondering, what's your workout routine? Are we doing a lot of bench? Are we doing a lot of squats? Are we doing deadlifts? Or what are we doing?
Yeah, for that time, you know, I was also on steroids. So at that time,
hold on.
You know, you
can... Real steroids?
Yeah, I took real steroids for the mood. Yeah.
Okay. Then I'm impressed then. Okay, let's get that out there.
For me, it was I didn't feel right making a movie about steroids without actually taking them, you know? So part of the – halfway through the movie, you see the acne on my back.
Yeah.
And that's real and all the muscle building is real, you know? But, yeah, back to the workout. Sorry. So, it was every day. Very little cardio and just a clean diet. And the gym was standard, you know, chest tries, back buys, you know, legs, shoulders, arms. And then, you know, I went into Arnold's book a little bit, you know, he used to do chest and back together, big muscle groups together. And you just kind of keep pushing yourself. The hardest part of that was fighting injuries. So, you know, because your muscles are growing, it doesn't mean everything else is really staying up to par. I'm normally a really skinny guy. So, you know, I was up to 315 benching, you know.
Nice.
And
that's bench, man.
That's big weight, right? And but, you know, of course, you know, instead of doing 3 reps and knocking it out, I did 4 and kind of think I tore something that till this day I still deal with, you know, things like that. But, yeah, you always do legs. Legs is like the building block of all bodybuilding.
So did you deadlift or no deadlifts?
I didn't deadlift like when I used to compete, I used to deadlift a lot. I didn't because I didn't want to mess up my back. But squats and heavy leg presses, you know, stuff that, you know, older men can deal with without hurting themselves. You know what I mean?
I can relate. I can definitely relate with you.
Oh, you know, not China.
So you have I think his name's Kevin. No, Jason. Sorry. His name is Jason.
Yeah.
Is he a real professional bodybuilder too? That man is beast.
Are we talking about Ty Edwards' character?
Yes.
So Ty is a chef, and he doesn't compete in bodybuilding, but he definitely stays in the gym every day.
Because that man is massive.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
I also want to discuss his girlfriend, Trisha.
Yeah, yeah. You know who that is?
No.
That was Sophie Simmons. That's Gene Simmons' daughter from Kiss.
I didn't recognize. I wouldn't know who she was. She could walk by and I wouldn't know.
No, nobody does. But, you know, she had that reality show that was huge at that time, a couple years ago when it was huge. But, yeah, you know, she started getting into acting and our casting director knew her. And I was like, hey, you know, she'd be kind of fun to, like, play around with Jason's character a little bit. And she came on for one day and took some pictures with us.
So I guess we want to go. I wonder, how did you make the drug lab?
What's funny is that, you know, it's the loose part of the movie that's based on truth is I did my Jason when I was competing was a guy who made his own steroids. And so what I did for this is I kind of Googled how to make steroids in reality, you know, and it was kind of like you to take these pellets and mix it with this and, you know, boil this. So we kind of just made it a little bit of our own because we didn't want it to be 100% realistic just in case, you know. But, you know, the crushing up of the pills, and it's all similar to what I think you have to actually do. But we just kind of put together a little Breaking Bad sequence and thought it was fun.
Now, did you use the same apartment for both shots, for your apartment and his apartment, at the same place? Or are they two different locations?
It's actually the same location. The owner, who's also one of the executive producers on the film, has he kind of lives in where Jason's character had. He lives there. And then he has a house that he's just continually trying to fix. And that's where my character lived. But they're both owned by the same person in the same yard.
Now, let's discuss your girlfriend in the movie a little bit.
Yeah. Sarah Baldwin.
I think she's a little too passive, I would say.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
she knows what's going on. And then she's pretending, oh, you're on steroids? Like, really? You didn't know? I kind of like, I mean, I know it's movie magic. I got to let it go. But I couldn't.
Right, right. Oh, yeah.
Like, is she just living in dreamland? Like, I was trying to figure out, come on, it's pretty evident he's doing something.
Yeah, it was tough, you know, because we wanted it, you know, there's always love in everything, right? And sometimes love blinds us. And that was kind of like, well, it's kind of a soft reason, but, you know, it's one of the reasons we said, hey, you know, she's going to put up with this. She's going to deal with this. But you're not the first one that said, listen, she had to have known she couldn't have been this dumb. You know, she's a beautiful, smart woman. We can tell.
Yes.
You know, but yeah, we just, that's just a movie moment for us. You just have to kind of deal with it, I guess.
I'm dealing with it. It's all good. Your office location, is that just a rental or did you get to borrow it off a buddy?
No, that was a rental in California. Simi Valley is the city. Yeah.
Yeah, just one of those things. Did you use some CGI effects? It looked like you did. Some computer animation here and there.
Normal stuff like monitors were VFX'd.
Really?
Yeah, the monitors were VFX'd.
I wasn't sure because I'm like, do they have that on all the time? I didn't know. Okay. Yeah,
that was VFX'd. And then what else? And then the final moment of the movie, there's kind of like a puff up of my shoulders.
Yes.
The last beat, we have VFX'd that.
Okay, see, things I didn't know.
Yeah.
How is working your day job? Because you said you're a rental truck manager, according to IMDb.
Yeah.
So you're doing this and working out? Like, do you have time to go home?
No, it was terrible. The worst part, though, was the dieting to lose weight while trying to work the job. Because you have no energy, never mind to manage a couple employees and customer service and keep my job, you know, because it was still paying the bills. And then the gaining weight, you know, I just had to every 2 hours slip out and microwave a meal. That was like the hardest part, is just always eating.
So what do you do to market your film? I mean, you have some main stars.
Yeah.
Don't be rude. You have to do all the work yourself.
Yeah.
And how is that? Because this is, I think, your first film from what I could find.
Yeah, it's my first real movie. You know, I've been things here and there, but this is like my Rocky per se. And, you know, the problem was everything with selling a movie costs money. And we just didn't really have a marketing budget at the end of our film. So we just put everything on the screen. And so for me personally, I actually have a marketing degree from UCF. So I was able to kind of use that and social media and mainly social media, but also, you know, reaching out to magazines and trying to get interviews and doctors. We have a couple interviews with doctors in India because the steroid thing really attracts certain people. Like, oh, you really took steroids? You really suffered from body dysmorphia? Let's talk more about that. So it tangents its away from the movie a little bit, but it's all relative, I think.
And I also read you use real needles.
Yeah, so all the shots that I take in the movie were shooting them.
I was impressed with that. I said, because I was watching that, goes, those look real.
Yeah, they're real.
But I'm
real,
like, they can't be real. So I just, you know, you just sort of brush it off.
Yeah, it's a movie. It can't be real.
So you've got your marketing degree. Did people respond to your film well?
It's 50-50. Either you love it or you hate it.
Really?
Yeah, it's never in the middle, which is so weird. But, you know, we took a lot of chances. You know, it was the director's first movie as well. And he's from a very commercial background. So we kind of took that. You know, we get a lot of comparisons to the similar music video style, a lot of the shooting in it. You know, we colored it in a certain way using a high dynamic range, which is the first movie to really try to do that. And some people, you know, people that are really into film and cinema and quality, they can't stand it. They're like, oh, what is this blurry sharpness Instagram filter look? And then, so that's those people hate it, then I think the normal crowd, just viewers, they're like, oh, this is something I've never really, it's weird looking, it's different, you know? And then to the steroid, the roid rage, whew, it gets people mad. It gets people very, very mad.
But it's true.
But it's true, you know, and it's funny. If you look on our Amazon, there's a couple of reviews. Give it 1 star, 2 stars, and they go into paragraphs about how they've been taking steroids for 15 years and none of this has ever happened and this is all fake and it's all anti-steroids. It's like, listen, this is not 100%, you know, made up. These are real stuff that happens. People do get crazy on steroids, you know?
And I think some people, as you're just saying, it's a film.
It's a film, yeah.
Like, Pinocchio's not real, people. Aladdin's not real. It's a film. Just write not for me.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that as a review, saying, you know what, I had issues with the rage. Okay.
Yeah.
But you can't argue. It's a film. Who cares if it's fake?
Yeah, or if people don't think like that.
Oh, they have to. I do want to discuss the microwave shot. You do a shot of you heating something in the microwave and the camera's behind it.
Yeah,
I really like that idea. I really like that shot. I want you to state that too.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's one of our director's choices.
That was quite nice.
Yeah.
So how was this received? Like, you bring it out, you're saying this, you got people on Amazon, but you're going to Film Fest. How did that feel, going to a Film Fest?
Oh, yeah, people love it at film festivals. It's unlike anything they've seen before. Sure. It's truly a unique film.
I would agree with you.
Yeah. I think what's kind of held us back from, like, a more generalization of popularity from it is just our lack of marketing budget, you know, to be honest with you.
Well, that sucks. I mean, your film is different. Like, I like it because then people should watch it because it's something different. It's not the same thing you see all the time.
No, it's not, you know?
And I think maybe in marketing, people that go to gyms should watch this film, I think. I think they'll learn something from it.
Yeah.
Now, I guess – go ahead.
Oh, sorry. So you either get like the people that kind of go to the gym, not really serious though, they get motivated by it. By the end of the film, they're like, I'm going to go work out, you know? And then you have the people, like I was saying, that bodybuild and that are very close to using steroids on a very daily basis for years and years and years. And they're so, like, so anti the message that we're trying to get across, like we're trying to brainwash the world. And I always explain to them like this. I said, well, if we would have made a more realistic film, it would have been like skinny guy, take steroids, get some acne, gets a little angry, gets off steroids, gets skinny again.
Yeah.
And that would have been the movie.
I agree.
But, I mean, that's pretty boring.
Yes.
You know?
I don't want to ruin the end, so I'm going to try to go around it. You'll know what I'm getting at.
Okay.
You don't have a finale to your film. Do you understand? Right? Was that pre-planned? I don't think I'm ruining anything. I'm just saying there's not really an end.
Yeah, no, it wasn't planned. We actually shot an ending. And in post-production, you know, our post-production took a full year to do because we had so much footage. We didn't know where we were going to go with the film really off the pages. And we shot a whole ending and then ended up not using it.
So is that on the extra features or where does that sit?
Did I put it in the DVD? I don't think so. I think parts of it are in the DVD, like sections of it. But yeah, I mean, without a spoiler, it's tough to really talk about.
So I guess, let's not spoil it. So we can kind of hit around it. Do you think in the end, Adam figures out what he wants to do or doesn't? I mean, I think I'm totally leaving this open. Because I say no. I think he's got his directional path, and this is what he wants. I don't think I'm ruining anything for anybody, because they don't know what we're talking about, so no. I'm good.
I think at the end, Adam is still that same skinny, insecure guy.
I absolutely agree.
And no matter what he sees, he's never going to believe that.
I 100% agree with you.
Yeah, so that's what I think.
Now, do you think at some point Adam will phone his parents and speak to his parents again, or is he done with that? He's just cutting everybody off and going his own direction.
No, I think he finds forgiveness.
I think it's going to take him a long time to find that.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. I mean, it could take a while.
I think he's so angry in this film. Like, he is just an angry individual at everybody. Yeah. He's angry at work. He's angry at his girlfriend. He's angry at his parents. He's angry at himself. And I think he's even angry at the drug dealer in the end because he's become a drug pusher by the end. He's just, I don't know what the, an uber beast, I guess is the best thing. An uber monster by the end of this. He's just losing it.
And that's what, we try to show the kind of weak, insecure person at the beginning and that full circle of him becoming that drug dealer.
Yes.
Badass. Not badass, but you know what I mean. Tough guy. Don't fuck with him, So that was the arc, I guess, in it,
And I'm going back to the beginning of the film. Do you think Daniel Baldwin in some ways made him that person?
I think he could have been part of the fire there. Imagine dealing with that every single day.
Oh, I couldn't. I don't even know. And his buddy should have quit too at the same time.
He should have walked out.
Because they were supposed to be tight. And I mean, Adam I think is tighter with him than he is with Adam. Adam is putting his hand out early, and the guy kind of slaps him away, I felt.
Yeah, that was it. He chose the job.
Yeah, and I'm kind of like, really? he's supposed to be your buddy. I guess not. And this job sucks. Why are you here? You both need to go.
Yeah, exactly.
So one thing we haven't touched on is your music, and I put grinding music. Because I can't really identify it.
No, it's weird, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's we have two composers on the film, and with the help of the director, it's like it's gym music but not, and it's techno but not.
Yes.
There's some hip hop in it, but not. It's a wild soundtrack,
So where did that come from? Where did you find this person?
It's friends of the director. The director had known these guys for a long time. I think he had worked with them prior. And, Landon Williams, the director of it, had a very strong vision after reading the script and knew what he wanted out of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm ready for fun questions. I think we've gone pretty good depth in your film.
Cool.
Without telling anybody anything.
They might get a gist of some things, but
they need to see it. I kind of had to talk about the end, but we can't really talk about the end.
I know.
I left a lot of stuff out, so I think we're good.
Yeah.
Your favorite film?
Favorite film? You know what's funny? What comes to mind? Well, Jurassic Park comes to mind first. But I love I Am Legend with Will Smith for whatever reason. It's so good and shot so well, and Will Smith's so great in it. I don't know. It's one that hits me a little bit too.
Since you live in LA, I have to ask this question. Your biggest celebrity encounter besides yourself?
Ooh, who have I ran into? I just ran into the other night. I was at a Netflix party with Jeff Ross and Neil Brennan. And that was pretty cool.
Jeff Ross is one of the funniest men alive.
And he's so nice. He's so nice.
He's super nice. I see him. I go to Just for Laughs every year, and I see Jeffrey Ross every year, and he says hi to me. He actually knows who I am.
It's pretty cool.
He doesn't know my name, but he knows he knows me. He has no idea why he knows me. He just knows me.
That's cool. Yeah.
Okay. This may be a strange question. Do you still have DVDs?
I do have some DVDs.
What's your strangest DVD on your shelf?
DVD. What's the oldest DVD?
Not oldest. Strangest.
Not strangest. I guess one of my first ones was Braveheart. What's the strangest one I have? I have the movie Creepshow with no cover, two-sided disc, one widescreen, one full screen, and it's just sitting in there. That's pretty random.
And I have your last random question. The one film on this planet you have never seen and should have.
There's a couple. never seen Casablanca. I've never seen Gone with the Wind.
Oh, those are old.
I've only seen part of Godfather.
Okay. You're going to hang this up, and you're going to go spend 3 hours and watch Godfather.
I know. Isn't that crazy? I've never seen it. But
then you're going to watch Godfather 2 right afterwards, so just 6 hours right there, you're done.
I just need a Memorial Day. That's what I'll do on
Okay,
Monday.
Good. That's Monday, so you better be prepared.
I know.
Tell everybody where they can find your film, please.
Yeah, so it's on – if you're in North America, it's on all digital platforms, Vimeo, YouTube, Amazon Prime. If you're a member, it's free. Gravitas has their own streaming service. It's on satellite, for DirecTV and Verizon. And it's also available Blu-ray and DVD with commentary and extras and stuff like that through Target, Walmart, and Amazon.
Great. Thank you for your time. You were awesome.
Thank you for having me, brother.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, I just want to say thank you for listening to this great interview. We have more on our website at www.extrafeatures.ca. And if you enjoyed it, can you please go to iTunes and leave us an iTunes review and like us on our Facebook page? Thank you.